Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
It is great to be with you this morning. It's an honor and a joy to be able to share with you. When Stephanie reached out a little while ago and said, hey, are you available on this Sunday? I was thrilled to be able to say, yes, I am. I'm not available next Sunday because I'm going to be in Whitehorse. And the temperatures there at the moment are minus 26. God has a great sense of humor that he would send me to a place like that. I'm sure some of you are wondering, okay, so we know your name is Brian. Why on earth are you here preaching? We have no idea who you are. Well, for those of you who don't know who I am currently serving our associational family of churches as the BCY regional minister. And BCY simply stands for British Columbia and UCOM, hence going off to Whitehorse next week. It is a position I've had for almost a year. February is my one-year anniversary in this position. Prior to that, I was the senior pastor at White Rock Baptist Church down in beautiful, sunny White Rock, which I think it's about 50% less rain than you guys do. And so I'm glad I'm down there, but that's home for me. So what a joy to be able to share with you. I've enjoyed kind of looking through the congregation this morning and seeing a few faces that I recognize from some of the boards that I sit on in this position through Cary Theological College, through Hope Hill, and through Keats Camps. And so what a joy to know that this church isn't just here for yourselves, and you're not just here about Olivet Baptist. You are faithfully committed to the broader ministry of Christ's kingdom here in Vancouver and even further afield. So the Lord bless you, and the Lord continue to use you. Before I dive into Mark chapter 10 this morning, I've come to a sad realization over the last few years. Perhaps as I've grown and matured and gotten to know people and discussed and certainly discussed some of my favorite things, I've come to realize that there are a lot of people out there who do not actually think that The Lord of the Rings is a great story. And I apologize if this is shocking to some of you. We share life with people who don't think Lord of the Rings is all that good. I mean, while I'm thinking about Lord of the Rings, I'm ashamed to say that even some of my own family, not only Lord of the Rings, but my teenagers think that the original trilogy of Star Wars, in my son's language, well, it's low-key mid. Now, of course, some of you are going, what? Yeah. As I said, what? For the teenagers in our midst, if something is low-key, it's subtle. If it's mid, well, it's meh. It's average. And I want to take him out of my will. Now, that he would think that stories like this. Now, I know some of you might be thinking to yourself quietly, well, Brian, I'm in that category. So why is it that you think stories like Lord of the Rings or the original trilogy of Star Wars are good stories? And I'm glad you asked that question. Truly great stories include several elements that we resonate with and that we gravitate towards. Even if we can't articulate it, we are drawn in to stories where there is a clear protagonist, someone who is the hero of the story, who ideally is not perfect, who makes mistakes, who falls, who does the wrong thing. And in that story, not only is there a protagonist and a hero, but there's also the antagonist or the villain. There is an enemy that comes against this hero. And in the hero's journey of the story, there are all the usual expectations of love, adventure, excitement, failure. But then there's the redemptive arc of the story as the hero slowly grows and we find redemption and forgiveness and hopefully reconciliation, as well as all sorts of things. And in my storybook fantasies, as long as there's swords or guns that include that, well, then we're happy. However, more than that, there is something all good stories have, that sometimes we don't truly notice, but we notice when it's not there. A good story, a timeless classic story, has behind the scenes a battle between two kingdoms. There is always a tale of two kingdoms, and those two kingdoms are good and evil, right and wrong. And for a story to be a great story, it includes this element underlying everything, that there is this fight, there is this battle, there is this separation. I would argue, philosophically so, but I would argue that the reason some of our stories over the last few years have not become timeless classics is because storytellers are trying to ignore that fact. They're trying to tell a story apart from this background, this overarch of kingdoms at war, kingdoms behind us. And I think subconsciously we know this to be true. Perhaps for us as Christians, it's more than subconsciously. Because when we read Scripture, we're drawn into this reality, this truth, that we do indeed live between two worlds. Jesus certainly knew this. Jesus spoke to it, preached on it, taught about it, called it out in his disciples. And that's what we read this morning. This tale of two kingdoms. This line of good and evil. I love how Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I think I've said that completely wrong, but as Alexander so aptly said, the line between good and evil runs not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. And I think Jesus fully understood this. And Jesus calls this out. Every one of us lives in the intersection between two kingdoms. And from the time that we are young, living in this world and in the kingdom of this earth, that's how we are trained. It's all about get ahead. Protect your rights. Climb the ladder. Make a name for yourself. Some of you are trying to put my accent, and you're trying to figure out where on earth am I from. I grew up in South Africa. I was born and raised in South Africa. I grew up during the apartheid era, the separation acts. I went to an all-boys, whites-only school. I had a lot of unlearning to do later on in life, but I distinctly remember, as I went to that school, being taught over and over, "Brian, you are the top of the food chain. Because you are a male and you are white." That is the world we live in. Now, yes, some of those elements have changed. But the kingdom of this world is all about getting ahead. Climb the ladder. Make a name for yourself. We read it in leadership books. We read it in political slogans, in workplace culture, and sadly, even sometimes in the church. We want to be bigger, faster, stronger, more influential. And that is until we read a passage like we've read this morning, where Jesus looks at all of that and looks at us and then utters those four simple words, "Not so with you." Not so with you. The passage we had read for us this morning is a collision between those two worlds. The kingdom of this earth and this life, and the kingdom of God. And Jesus makes it clear we cannot live in both at the same time. So let me briefly consider the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world that focuses on power, position, rights, self-advancement. I love reading the story where James and John come to Jesus with this bold request. Can you just imagine, put yourself in that place, coming to Jesus, and they say, "Teacher, We want you to do for us whatever we ask. It's a bold request that they make. But before we consider it, let's just pause for a moment and consider the context and what's going on as they come to Jesus. You see, just a few verses before what we read this morning, we read, as they were heading up to Jerusalem, they're on their way to Jerusalem. It's actually just a few days before what we call Palm Sunday. So in the story of Christ's ministry on earth, we are about 8 to 10 days away from the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. This is close to the end of 3 years of Christ's ministry on earth. These two disciples were some of the first disciples called. They've been with Jesus for nearly 3 years. They've done life with him. They've lived with him. They've walked with him. If anyone should know who Jesus is and what he's about, it's these disciples. They've heard his teaching. They've seen his countless miracles. They've listened to him answer critics debating with teachers of the law. They've witnessed his power over demons, sickness, and even nature. They've stood in awe as he's raised people from the dead. They've been taught about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And in the time that they've been with Jesus, Jesus has spoken about the fact that he is going to die. In fact, when we get to Mark chapter 10, where we read today, and we read just before the passage we read this morning, Jesus once again tells them why the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem, because he's going to be handed over and crucified. That's the third account in the book of Mark of Jesus telling his disciples why he's here, where he is going. And so with that said, James and John, teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask. Now don't miss it. They believe Jesus is going to reign. They believe Jesus is going to establish a kingdom. And so they ask, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. This is kingdom of the world thinking. They're not just asking, Jesus, we'd like to have a title. We'd like to be recognized. We'd like to have a comfortable seat. They are saying, Jesus, when you establish your throne on your kingdom and you rule, we want to be crown princes on either side of you. That's what they want. That's kingdom of the world thinking. Secure the best seat. Get close to power and get power. Make sure you're not overlooked. And I love the fact that the other disciples are indignant. Because we mistakenly think that they're indignant, that these two disciples would be so arrogant. No. They're mad that they didn't think first to ask for that. Why? Because that's how the world works. And of course, beyond biblical examples of this, we can simply look to our own world around us and see the countless examples of this. Years ago, office workers just wanted bigger offices and corner offices with magnificent views. I spent 10 years in the corporate world before going into ministry, and it was all about the size of your office. That determined where you were. We might not want that too much these days, but we certainly want bigger and more. We want a bigger platform. We want more social media followers. We want to influence what happens. We want to control the world around us. And we want to control the world of others. We see it in the political world. Dare I say, the political mess around us. Here in Canada and sadly south of the border. Politicians vying for power and control. And it's really no better in the rest of the world. And as I said a moment ago, even the church is not immune. How sad when I went from the corporate world into the church world and realized that there's a great overlap in the wrong way between those two environments, whereby even pastors and church leaders define themselves based on their power and control. I go to conferences and meet with pastors outside of just our association of churches. And so often pastors will ask one another, well, how big is your church? As though that's the important thing. What they're asking is, how many people answer to you? How many people do you rule over? How many people do you lead? To which I have to remind them, we're Baptists, that's like herding cats anyway. But we want to know how many people answer to us. We're not too interested about how many people do we serve. Jesus names it plainly in verse 42. He says, "You know that those who regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." And that phrase, "lord it over," means to dominate, to impose your will, to remind others who's in charge. That's the kingdom of this world. Greatness means I'm untouchable, I can control, I have power and authority, I get my own way. And it means others exist to serve me. That's the kingdom of this world. But Jesus draws that line and says, not so with you. Not so with you. In fact, Jesus doesn't just offer a gentle adjustment. Jesus draws a boundary line. Not so with you. Instead, Jesus says, whoever